I go to Psalms, I believe. Either Psalms or Proverbs. One or the other. I think Psalms to start out. And our subject here today is happiness. Is there anybody here that does not want to be happy? Okay. There's probably, we're going to go to Psalm 1 to begin. There's probably a lot of misconceptions about being happy. There's probably a lot of misconceptions about how to get there. What it takes to become happy or to be happy or maintain happiness. So we're going to start in Psalm 1. And it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." The word blessed is the word happy. It's the Hebrew word, I don't know how you pronounce it, but it's spelled two different ways depending on whose book you look at, ashrir or ashir. And it means to be happy or blessed. And if you look up in the dictionary, one of the definitions of being happy is that it's also used the word blessed. So it's an archaic meaning in English of the word blessed is to be happy. This word means a state of blessedness or happiness when a superior bestows his blessing on you. So, blessing there would be used in the sense of favor, right? So it says here in a negative, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Counsel would be, you know, listening to the advice, the instruction of somebody that's ungodly. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. You know, you're hanging out with people that sin. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Scornful would be those that are God rejectors. You know, you sit around with those people and you hang out with those people and they are God rejectors. So you're happy when you're not in the company of these people, when you're not walking with these people, when you're not hanging out with these people, when you're not listening to these people. But in contrast, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. To understand God's word and keep God's word in your mind will assist you in being happy. That makes sense, doesn't it? The English dictionary says something along the lines of happiness is a deep feeling of pleasure or contentment with one's circumstances. That could or could not be exactly correct biblically. But certainly when your circumstances are in a positive way and things are going the way you want, you're content with them, you take pleasure in it. You're, you know, if you're not happy, you're at least, you know, yeah, you're cool. Okay. But the question is, what do we do to attain happiness? Is it to amass riches? Obviously, if you look throughout the world, riches do not really make people happy. Usually, it makes people more happy when they give away the riches. Some of the most miserable people on the face of the earth are people that win the lottery. Yeah. It's ruined more lives than it's helped. Or to establish security. Security is, you know, where you think everything is set so that you don't have to worry about things. And, you know, security is, there really is no such thing as security. You could have the biggest, best business in the world today and tomorrow it could be gone. You could have set up your retirement exactly the way everybody tells you and do everything you're supposed to do and tomorrow it could be gone. You know, so security is not really secure. No matter what you think, it may work out, may not work out. But if that's your focus in life, you're probably not going to be happy. You're probably going to be frustrated and worried all the time. Do I have enough? Am I going to make it till I'm 90? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? happiness is not usually brought about by having the latest toys or fashions or coolest things or electronics or gadgets or any of that stuff. You know, if you wear $200 shoes and wear the latest fashions, it's not going to make anybody love you any more or any less. If you have the coolest cars and the coolest television and the coolest this and the coolest that, it's not really going to bring you happiness. It may bring you some enjoyment for a short period of time. It's kind of funny because, you know, Stevie was showing me an advertisement in the paper yesterday. You get a laptop for, what was it, $349 now? $279. You know, not a laptop, a desktop. Because it's already passé, you know, nobody wants them anymore. Or, you know, they become less and less attractive. Everybody has iPads and tablets and laptops, and that's what everybody has. And they're more powerful than the old desktops if you had one from 10 years ago. So, you know, these things, they just change. You get a new car, well, it gets old. You get a new this, it gets old. You get this, it doesn't work right, you know, so on and so forth. Having a dream job, the dream job, you know, the perfect job. Well, you know what? I've had a lot of jobs, and I've known a lot of people with a lot of jobs. I have yet to find somebody that has the dream job. Matter of fact, there's no such thing. You know, you make the best out of what you do. And any job you aspire to or train to, you could ask Jimmy here. Jimmy's an electrical engineer, went through Penn State, worked relatively hard. I bet it's not anything like you thought it would be. It's not what you imagined when you first started out. Nope, never is, you know. You watch TV or movies and you see these guys in courtrooms, you know, the high-powered lawyers, and they make these great orations. 90% of the lawyers never see the inside of a courtroom. 90% of the lawyers don't really make a lot of money. You know, just the way it is. There's no such thing as a dream job. You make the best out of where you are, and really what will make you happy in a job is that you're working hard and you're blessed and you're working for God. You know, and you're a witness for God. If you have, you know, you're married to the right person, you have a trophy husband or a trophy wife or, you know, this or that, you know, that's not really going to make you happy either. You have the best husband or wife in the world. They'll bring you enjoyment. They'll bring you comfort. They'll help you. You help each other. But that's just not going to, by itself, make you happy. Matter of fact, you making them happy will make you more happy than them making you happy. So on and so forth. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. The Word of God says a lot, and most of it's in the Old Testament, concerning happiness. Now, some people could say, oh, well, that's the Old Testament. Well, one of the keys to the word's interpretation is to whom it's written. Old Testament's not really written to us. To whom it's addressed. Sometimes it is addressed to us, sometimes it's not, because sometimes it's referring to humanity at large, you know, generally to human beings, and sometimes it's referring in the future to the church. If, you know, looking back, we know it's you know, in reference to us. Like when it says about Abraham, he said, you know, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Well, that has to do with us, doesn't it? We're of the nations and we're blessed. We didn't know, or they didn't know at the time what that was referring to, but it's us. And then, of course, the other thing is, of whom is it true, or whom does it apply? And many of the things in the Old Testament apply to us. Like, for instance, most of what we know about raising children is in the Old Testament. Well, who was it written to? Well, basically, it was written to Israel. But it applies to anyone having a child. So, because the principles of raising a child don't change from age to age or generate, just because you're born again, you still have to raise your children. And they're not born again. And they're not born with a perfectly renewed mind. So you have to train up a child according to the word. See? Because the New Testament doesn't really affect that, does it? In the sense of, now you can teach your son about, or daughter about Christ, and certainly that's part of the training, and that's part of the nurturing, and so on and so forth. Okay, but you still, you know, you train a child up according to what God says, and that child will hopefully continue in that path. Okay, so Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. And this is referring to, of course, wisdom concerning what God would have us to do. Wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. And that would be knowledge concerning God or eternal knowledge, you know, the knowledge truth. So happiness is the man that findeth wisdom, you know, proper application of the truth, the knowledge of God's word. Then it goes on to say, and the man that getteth understanding. Understanding is, you know, you get knowledge, you get wisdom, and you apply that. And the word understanding has to do with that flowing together. It all comes together for you. You know, when you see it come to pass, it opens up your eyes. Then in verse 14 it says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So that happiness is greater than riches. It's greater than having amassed money or power or security or having all the gadgets or all the fashions or all the stuff. Because you know why I know that? Only because God tells me. And when I come to that realization, you know, one of the things it says in the New Testament, Jesus Christ was talking, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, meaning, you know, the physical needs of life. In the New Testament, it says that he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But if you read the context, you have to be doing something. You have to be living for God. Okay, let's go to Psalm 128. I'm sure it's a psalm you're all familiar with. Probably not. Because I wasn't until I read it. Again. Psalm 128. Okay. And it says, blessed. And that word blessed is happy. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. That feareth the Lord is to be in great awe and respect of God and walk in his ways, which would be the ways that he directs us to walk in our lives. That's what's going to make you happy. It's kind of what it said in Psalm 1, right? It said, you know, we're not to walk in the ways of sinners, but we're to walk in his ways. That's what brings happiness. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed, happy, that feareth the Lord. Pretty cool, huh? It doesn't just affect you, it affects your family. Because, you know, the man's supposed to be the head of the house, so it will affect everything. Let's go to Psalm 34. So there's basically three things that it says here in the Old Testament. There's many things. If you go back, it talks about helping the poor, you know, which means to give and to help people. That will bring happiness. But as far as relates to our relationship with God, it says, trust God, fear God, and keep his word. Those are three main things that God says to do if you want to be happy. Okay? Fear God, meaning have great respect for God in your life. And if you have great fear or great respect or awe for God in your life, that's going to affect how you think. It's going to affect how you act. It's going to affect how you live. It's going to affect everything that you do every day. It's going to be there. It's not going to be just, okay, fellowship's over and I can go screw around. Psalm 34, verse number 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. kind of makes an analogy of food, doesn't it? You know, you ever order a meal and you taste and you see it's good. You know, you ever go in a restaurant and taste and you see it's bad? What do? You send it back. But when we taste and see that the Lord is good, we're going to see that He's good. He's a good God. Blessed, happy is the man that trusteth in Him. Trust means to rely on. Today in the prayer or the manifestation, I can't remember, it said to lean heavily on God. I thought that was pretty cool. Lean heavily on God. Because He's the one we can trust. Can you trust? Well, when I was in high school, well, right as I got out of high school, I had a friend who had a lot of, his father had a lot of money. He didn't have a lot of money. And his father bought him a brand new Corvette to go to college. Cool, huh? $3,600. $3,600 for a brand new Corvette. Today, Corvette cost, I don't know, $45,000, and they're crap anyway. But that's neither here nor there. You can't rely on the government to stabilize the money, can you? You know, if you really looked at the price of gas in relationship to what a dollar buys, it's not that much more expensive today than it was in 1964, really. Because back then gas was, you know, 30 cents a gallon. Today it's $3.20. So it's the same relationship of what a dollar will buy. Okay, so taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, respect the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. You know, you're not going to be in want when you respect God, when you keep God in His proper place in your life. That's the way it is. Let's go to Psalm 84. Okay, verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. O the Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You know, there is no life without the sun, is there? If the sun went out, everything would die. And a shield. A shield is for protection. You know, God is the giver of life, and He says that He will protect us and watch over us. Grace and glory. And He says, no good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly, according to His word. That's the way you walk uprightly. You do what God wants you to do. You walk in His ways. And no good thing will be withheld. Oh, the Lord of hosts, blessed, happy is the man that trusteth in thee. Relies on God. Looks to God. Let's go to one more, Proverbs 16. Chapter 16 of Proverbs, verse 20. It says, He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Now, to handle a matter wisely would be to handle a matter according to what?
Word.
Yeah, God's word. You get an understanding or a knowledge of something according to what God says about it, and then you apply it. That's wisdom. And when you apply the wisdom of God's word, you will be happy. You'll be blessed. Let's go to Proverbs 28. I used to discount happiness. I used to say, well, happiness is dependent on how things are going this week or what's going on and blah, 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 blah. It's really not. It's really about what you decide to do. I used to listen to this guy once in a while on the radio, and he would do a thing called a happiness hour. And You've heard him? Yeah. And it's pretty cool. Some of it is because he says, you know, you decide to be happy. Some people decide to be happy and some people don't decide to be happy. Most people that are happy people are happy, you know, but God tells us how we can be happy, and it's truly happy. To be truly happy is to put God into your life and to fear him and to trust him and look to him and live according to his wisdom and his word. And when we do that, things are going to be in proper perspective. Things are going to be the way they're supposed to be. So then all those other things will come about that people think make them happy. But it won't come about because of stupid stuff. It'll come about because God is blessing your life. Obviously, people can amass great riches and be miserable. People can have a lot of money and be happy. You know, what's the difference? Well, it has a lot to do with who you are and what's important in life. And people that have a lot of money and are happy realize that money's not the biggest deal in the world. It's not that important. And they usually give a lot of it away. Or bless people with it and do things for others. People that are miserable are people that are hoarding it and are afraid they're going to lose it. Okay. Proverbs, what did I say? 28, verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. We looked at that last week in a couples fellowship where we talked about the hard-hearted. It's, you know, a lot of it is not listening to God, you know, closing yourself off from what you're supposed to do, not doing what God would have you do. That's a lot about being hard-hearted. And then hard-hearted in relationship to not listening to God and then not helping others. You know, just, well, I'm not helping him. Screw him. What do I have to help him for? Why do I want to help that person? Well, why not? It's good to help people. It's good to bless people. Okay, Psalm 65. Psalm 65. So we looked at being trusting of God, and we're looking here at fear, which we looked at earlier a little bit. Psalm 65. Verse 4, it says, blessed, which is again, happy. What was it in, I haven't seen it in years, Sesame Street, right? They go, happy, and they have a smiley face, and they go, sad, happy, sad. Happy. Most people would prefer to be happy. Happy is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. Speaking of God, you know, being in the presence of God. In the Old Testament, it was to be in his house, in his courts, which was the temple or the tabernacle. It's where you went to meet God and worship. Today, we can go anywhere and be in the presence of God, can't we? Because he's there for us. We have his spirit within us. We have access to God continually. And not only do we have access to the Holy of Holies, face to face, right before the throne of grace. So it says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us. Terrible things doesn't mean terrible. It means in awe and respect. In awe, respect, things in righteousness wilt thou answer us. O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea. You know, we respect God and God takes care of us. We're to, you know, be before God. We're to keep God right there in front of us all the time. Let's go to Psalm 112. Okay, it says, praise ye the Lord, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Now, the word blessed in the New Testament can mean And in the Old Testament, there's another word that means blessed. It means in English and the Greek, rather, in the New Testament, it's the word eulogia, which we get eulogy from. So, you know, when you have a memorial service, somebody will do a eulogy. It's to tell all the good things about the person that fell asleep or passed on. Hopefully there are good things to say about people. Well, it's not always easy. But it says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man, happy is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. So this is talking about the man that fears the Lord, fears God, Jehovah, and he's happy. And because he's happy and he's fearing God, other benefits accrue to him. He has other things going on here. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and leadeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. In other words, again, he who fears God, it affects his whole life, doesn't it? It affects how you live, how you handle your affairs, what you do, how you speak, how you pay your bills, how you manage everything. Because God would have us to be that way. Verse 6, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed. You know what heart is fixed means? It means he's focused. He's steadfast. He's not easily moved on God. Not moved on what God says to do. Okay, let's go to Psalm 119. Couple of pages over. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed. And of course, you know that Psalm 119, not only being the longest psalm, but is also an acrostic, which means, you know, verses 1 through 8 all start in Hebrew with the letter Aleph, which is A. So blessed is Ashir, whatever it is. It says, blessed, happy are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with a whole heart, not half-heartedly, but with a whole heart. You ever do anything half-heartedly? Yes. I've done many things half-heartedly. Usually when my wife asks me to do something I hate, I do it half-heartedly. Until I think, well, that's not the way to be. I should do this with all my heart, with an effort to bless her. So, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed, happy are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. A whole heart. Let's go to Proverbs 29. And we're going to read verse 18. Chapter 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Famous, people always cite this. The word vision means knowledge. It doesn't mean forward-looking, but it means knowledge. Where there is no knowledge, the people perish. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? Same thing. God says it different places, many ways, many different ways, but it's the same truth, is people get destroyed for lack of knowledge. If you don't have a knowledge of what God says to do, your life's a wreck. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You have to know the law to keep it, don't you? You have to know what God says to keep his word in your life, and that's what's going to help you to be happy. That's what's going to make you happy. Now let's go back to Psalm 106. It's the last thing in Psalms we're going to read. Psalms 106, verse 3. Okay, it says, blessed are they that keep judgment. To keep judgment is to keep his word. It's, you know, what God judges, how he judges it. We keep judgment. Blessed, happy are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Keep righteousness means you do what's right. So, you know, we try to make that complicated. Righteous. If we keep righteousness, that means we're doing what's right. That's all it means. We do what's right. What's right is according to God's word. Pretty simple. And that will help you to be happy. You know, when you don't do what's right, it kind of weighs on you, doesn't it? Unless you're so far gone that you have no conscience. You know, when you have no conscience, when it's seared with a hot iron, then you can do things bad and you don't even care anymore. But when you are trying to do your best for God and you do something wrong, it weighs on you. It drags you down. That's why in Hebrews it said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. When we sin, when we don't walk according to God's word, it slows us down, holds us back. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 14. It's a great chapter, and we're going to close here. This is a great chapter because it follows chapter 12 and 13, of course. Chapter 12 speaks about being living sacrifices. It talks about renewing your mind, and it talks about functioning in the body of Christ. Okay? And then chapter 13 talks about ordering the church and obeying those who are put at the head of the church and doing things correctly. And then in 14 it says, it should be, but him that is weak in believing, receive ye not to doubtful disputations. And I decided I would read this out of Walter Cummins' translation because I think it's easier to understand. So, let me go back. You guys are going to read the King James. I'm going to read in the Working Translation. Be accepting of him who is weak in the right way of believing, but not unto discerning of disputes. One believes that he may eat all things, while another who is weak eats vegetables. I'm the guy that eats all things. Me and Jay Weir. Okay. Let him who eats, and then in parentheses, all things, despise. Let not him who eats all things despise him who does not eat. You know, so if somebody's a vegan or a vegetarian or very careful about what they eat, and you allow that you can eat, you know, fish and shrimp and steak and potatoes and fat and butter, you shouldn't, you know, look down on those people that, you know, are vegetarians or whatever. And let him who does not eat all things judge him who eats all things. And the guy that's a vegetarian says, well, you're just hurting your body and blah, 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 blah. Well, they're not supposed to do that. They're not to judge either. For God has accepted him. Okay? Who are you to judge another man's household servant? To his own Lord he stands or falls, and he will be upheld. For his Lord is able to uphold him. Okay? Now, that's kind of like an aside. You know, if I had a servant or I had an employee, it's none of your business, my relationship with him, because you're not involved, right? Okay. We all have our relationship with God. My relationship with God is not going to necessarily be the same as your relationship. I'm going to allow things in my life that maybe you can't. You may allow things in your life that I can't. And the only line of demarcation or the only... You know, there is a standard. So, for instance, it says we're not to be drunk with wine, where is an excess. So, if I allowed myself to be drunk, I could be reproved with the Word of God. It says some things in the Word, doesn't say it plainly, but, you know, you wouldn't get high on drugs because, you know, that's not according to God's Word. That's, you know, there's things like that. You wouldn't steal, you wouldn't lie. You know, those are standards of the Word. But how I dress necessarily, again, there's a standard there also. But within reason, there's, you know, I can dress, I can wear jeans, I can wear a suit, I can, you know, blah, blah. Women can wear high heels or flats. They can dress, you know, within reason. So on and so forth. So, verse 5, one person distinguishes a certain day from other days, while another person considers every day to be the same. Let each person be fully persuaded in his own mind. You know, somebody could, you know, we know that there's no such thing today as a Sabbath day. According to the Word of God in the New Testament, it doesn't say anything about a Sabbath day. But if somebody wanted to set aside a day, does it make a difference? No. If they want to do that, they're welcome to. And if somebody wants to set aside part of every day for God, that's their business. You know, we're supposed to have God in front of us all the time anyway, right? We're supposed to have God there in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, all the time, not just once in a while. So it really is, doesn't make any difference. But it says, let each person be fully persuaded. Where else do we see the term fully persuaded? Abraham, right? Abraham was fully persuaded of the promises of God. So what does this have to do with? It has to do with believing. It has to do with believing. Okay. He who considers the day distinguished from other days, consider it so to the Lord. And he who does not consider the day distinguished, considers it not so to the Lord. Okay, now the second part of that verse is omitted in some of the Greek texts. You can add it or not add it. Doesn't really matter. It's implied there. But the Lord here is God. It's referring to God, not Jesus Christ. Likewise, he who eats all things to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. See, that's why it refers to God up above, because it's the Lord, and then it says God. And he who does not eat all things, eats not all things to the Lord, and gives thanks to God. So, for instance, you know, some people say, well, I like to fast, or it's important to fast. Well, if you wanted to fast, you could fast. You know, if you don't want to eat and you think it sharpens you spiritually to spend some time in prayer and study and so forth, you could do that. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. It's up to you. That's your personal walk with God. And so if you eat all things or you don't eat all things, regardless, you're to give thanks to God. Surely no one of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. We don't live in isolation. People used to do that. They thought, wow, that's a cool way to serve God. You live in isolation. That's what monks did. They were ascetics. People would go up by themselves and live in a cave. We're not to live by ourselves in a cave. It's not what God wants us to do. It's obvious that's not his will. In fact, if we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this reason, Christ died and lived again, that we might be Lord over both, that he might be the Lord both over both the dead and the living. So why do you judge your brother, or why do you despise your brother? Certainly we shall stand at the judgment seat of Christ. In fact, it has been written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me and every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give account concerning himself. You know, whatever you choose to do, you're going to have to give an account. Let us therefore no longer judge one another, but rather judge this. Do not put a stumbling block or a stumbling obstacle or stumbling block before a brother. So you know what? Yeah, you may allow for something in your life, but that doesn't mean that you flaunt it in front of everybody. And I think about Beth, when she first came to fellowship, she was offended that I smoked and didn't come for a while. And you know what? That was a stumbling block. So there, I would be wrong. So if I know, I don't know that I knew that it offended her, but if I knew, I would not do it in front of her. If I was with somebody that had come from out of Judaism And it was, you know, they had never eaten ham or bacon, and I offered them that. I might offend them, you see? So I wouldn't do that. There are some people that come out of other religious backgrounds that don't know the word yet, and they might be offended by drinking alcohol. Well, I wouldn't offer them a glass of scotch. You know, I'd save it for myself. You understand? And again, and it doesn't say that you can't drink alcohol. It just says don't be drunk. So that's what we have to do. We have to be aware of what we're doing. Let's see, where were we? Okay, verse 14, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is common by itself. The word unclean means common. Common is the opposite of holy. You understand? You know, we think of the Sabbath day, and God describes the Sabbath day in relationship to days that are common. He describes us as holy in relationship to those that did not believe and are not born again as common. Okay? I know and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is common by itself, except to him who considers something to be common, to that one it is common or unclean. So if your brother is distressed because of your food, then you are no longer walking in love. Do not with your food destroy that one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be slandered. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You know, and he sets it right here. You may have to do things and not do things in front of people just to be considerate and not to be a stumbling block. But then he says, the kingdom of God is not drinking or eating. That's not what's going to get you to heaven, is it? It's getting born again. But justice and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what gets us to heaven. We get born again, we have Holy Spirit, and we have justice, peace, and joy. Thus, he who serves Christ in this manner is well-pleasing to God and approved by men. It's well-pleasing to God when we walk. And that's basically what he's saying is we are to walk in love. We're to walk in love. We're to walk according to the word and walk in love. Pretty cool. Thus, he who serves Christ in this manner is well-pleasing to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue the things pertaining to peace and the things pertaining to the edification of one another. Do not for the sake of food dismantle the work of God. All foods are indeed clean, but evil for that person who eats with a stumbling obstacle. It is good not to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is caused to stumble, or is made weak. The believing that you have it to yourself before God. The believing that you have it to yourself before God. You see? It's pretty self-explanatory. Happy is he who does not judge himself in what he approves. You know, you have to understand God, you have to understand the word, and then you walk according to his word and within those bounds and that those guidelines, you can allow in your life and believe God. Very simple. You believe God within the bounds of God's word, what he's done for you, what he's made you, who you are in Christ. And then you don't judge others and you don't judge yourself. You live according to believing. And when you do that, you're going to be happy. You see? You're going to be happy. Happy is he who does not judge himself in what he approves. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of believing. Or, however, the doubting person has condemned himself when he eats, because he does not eat from believing. And everything that is not from believing is sin. Sin means to miss the mark, right? That's what it means. You miss the mark. So, happiness. It's a great thing. God wants us to be happy. And you know, it tells us, you can go back and you can look it up and you can read and see blessed in the Old Testament and Psalms and Proverbs and a couple other places and in the New Testament, and it tells you about being happy. Basically, you know, we put God first, keep him in the right perspective, we trust him, we respect him, and we walk according to his word. And when you do that, you're going to be happy. pretty simple. You know, it's not really doesn't have a lot to do with what you have or don't have materially. It doesn't really have a lot to do with anything except your walk with God. That's what's really going to make you happy. Pretty simple, huh? If you're looking for a person to make you happy, you're probably looking in the wrong place. You know, you be happy. You decide to be happy. Do God's word and decide to be happy. And you might affect other people in a positive way. Pretty simple. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for giving us so much and blessing us so much, and that we can truly be happy. We can have all those fruit of the Spirit, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the love, the believing, and all that. But we can also be happy if we just stick to your word. We keep you in the right perspective and keep you where you belong. We just thank you, Father, that we can be happy and that we can affect other people. And we thank you for this in the great and powerful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.